Let's go to
hop hop.
Rick in Palo Alto. Rick, boy, the floor is yours.
Okay, first of all, I agree with your producer, Lucas. You guys, this is your job, okay? Talking is your job. But more to the point, Willard, I think what I've heard over the last hour and a half, 2 hours, is your take on the 49ers. I've been a 49er fan for 50-some-odd years. I followed Walsh and Siebert, and I also design football for my players at Foothill. One of the things I want to mention is there are two disciplines going on in football. There's a coaching discipline, and there's a player discipline. And when you look at it that way, within 2 minutes, when I put on the 49ers and the Chicago Bears, I saw Brock Purdy under the center, and he was doing RPOs. I called my friends who bet on FanDuel or every kind of secondary betting. I don't bet. They do. And I said, change your bet to the 49ers. The 49ers are going to win this game. And they did. The same thing happened with Seattle. When I saw Brock Purdy in the shotgun, I called my friends. I said, they're going to lose. And the reason I'm saying that is because some of the opposition I get is, oh, well, Brock Purdy can see the receivers better. Well, that's one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is the defense sees everything. And so that's why all the receivers and backs were covered to catch a pass. When I called everybody, that I said, bet on the Seahawks because the 49ers are going to lose. And boy, did they. And so I'm saying one thing. It's Kyle Shanahan's take. And I agree with you, Willard, that he was a little afraid of the Seahawks. So that's why he went into the shotgun. And he thought it would be better for Purdy. I thought he would change it at halftime. And he didn't. So the reason I'm saying that is because Kyle Shanahan is an excellent, excellent coach. I'm not putting him down. I'm just saying the real discipline here is the understudy and the understanding of the coach. The coach didn't. He could have changed it at halftime. His player got beat up. The whole game he got beat up. I'll let you guys talk.
Well, Rick, actually, before you go, Rick, I have a question for you. You sound like you know some football. You can't be making it as simple as, if Brock Purdy's under center, the Niners win football games, and if he's not, they don't. You're not saying that, are you?
No, not generally, but I can say within a few minutes who's going to win the game for the 49ers playing anybody, because Brock Purdy is you saw what happened against the Bears. He was able to get out of the pocket. He'd do an RPO with McCaffrey. He could do with whoever, Robinson. And so the secondary, whoever the Bears or the Seahawks would have been, the linebackers, the secondary would come in. And so Brock Purdy was able to get out of the pocket and find a receiver or run himself. That didn't happen in Seattle or against Seattle.
But, I mean, do you give any nod to, like, one of the things you're talking about was against the Bears. The other thing was against the Seahawks. Like, those are not – you're making them sound like they're equal things, and if the Niners had done the same thing, they'd have the same result.
We won't know that until they try. And I called my friends and said, if the 49ers get under – if Brock Purdy gets under center in the second half, they could win. And if they didn't, they were going to lose. And that's a fact.
Well, I don't think that we can say that that's a fact. And by the way, I think when you say RPOs, you actually mean...
That's a stat.
You mean play action, because you don't do RPOs from under center. That's usually a play that you would do. Thank you very much, Rick. You would
do
that out of the shotgun.
And the Niners don't do a lot of RPOs.
They don't do
anyway.
An RPO. I don't know that I've ever seen Brock Purdy run an RPO.
No, they ran some read option last week,
yeah.
And he ran it beautifully. And I'm looking at the 4th-and-1 play that we've all referenced where... He was under pressure, and they ran play action, and he was under center. So that was a play run under center that actually didn't work out. Pistol, shotgun, under center, hurry up, 4 wide, triple tight end. I don't know if any of that would have mattered, because on all the snaps I'm looking at for the 4th time, the majority of them, Seattle was just better in the trenches.
Totally.
And better in the secondary.
Yeah, and like the one thing I like about Rick's take, even though I think that the RPO thing is mixed up, and I don't think you can ever say, if you had done this, you would have won, and that's a fact. No, we're not, as human beings, I have no idea what would have happened if something that didn't happen was tried. I don't know what the result would have been. I can agree that I would have loved to see Kyle Shanahan try some other things a little earlier than he did, because they did find a rhythm there in the 4th quarter, and it was a little bit too late because it didn't end up with points because the ball bounced off of Christian's hands. and all of that stuff. But I do like that at least what Rick is trying to do is go a little deeper into the conversation. That's really my only point today. I would love to see, and this isn't just about Brock, it's about all quarterbacks. I would love to see when we watch a football game, instead of just attaching, and I think you've made the same point, instead of attaching a win or a loss, and instead of simply attaching a point total to the quarterback, let's talk about what was available and then what did they do with what was available. What was available against the Bears? A lot.
Yeah.
What did he do with it? A lot.
Yep.
What was available against the Seahawks? Very little.
A little. Yeah, some.
And, yeah, some. And what did he do with very little? Very little.
Yep.
But there's a difference between that and then, for example, what he did against Carolina. What was available against Carolina?
Some. Yep.
What did he do with it?
Not a lot.
Very little. He messed up. So that,
only three times in eight plays.
Right. So, like, okay, the president of Brockistan, I'll give you that one. That was a poor performance. Don't call the game against Seattle a poor performance. It wasn't a poor performance. It was a great performance, but it wasn't a poor performance. Very little available, and he did not make major mistakes in under duress. But there wasn't a lot available, and so they didn't get a lot.
And if you want to grade him on a curve, along with every other player who took an offensive snap, and you did a test out of 100, let's just say that Brock had like a 60 out of 100, but based on the curve, that was probably right in the middle or toward the top of the middle. Like, who on offense played well enough to where you'd go, yep, that's an A performance on the offense.
Yeah, I don't
offensive
I don't
line. I don't know. Like, Juszczyk had some good plays. Kittle, he didn't have any drops, but he didn't have any room.
Right.
Juwan got busted up a few times. Your various Robinsons made a few plays when they got the opportunity. Nobody on offense played well.
Correct. Nobody was like, I don't know if anybody was like offensive. You know, Christian had the worst play, the one that we saw.
Right.
But and I think a lot of the offensive line struggled. You know, they struggled to do their thing. And that's ground zero. They're the first ones. Like, that's the first line of defense. You got to do that, and then all the other stuff becomes available. And they didn't do their job.
And I do think that you have to tip the cap to Mike McDonald and what he did when he was at Baltimore. He did similar things where he confused Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. They beleaguered the offense. They generated turnovers, which they only did here with one turnover, but he's kind of been a little bit of a kryptonite for your boy Shanny. He's at his number now.
Actually, I can unfortunately give you a different name that might be the kryptonite.
Is it Vic Fangio? Lord Fangio?
Four times. I don't think Kyle's gotten to 20 points yet. Four times.
And he's one of the all-time great defensive coordinators in the history of our game.
And he, again, has a talent edge this weekend.
Yeah, he's got horses. So,
yeah. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Sports Station, the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. All right, Nick Friedell in 15 minutes. We do want to do some Warrior stuff. One more call on this, though. Mike in San Jose. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. What you got?
How's it going, fellas? So me and a couple guys at work, we're talking, and we understand that when the Rams played last week, when it didn't really mean anything against the Falcons, they still trotted out their first string, and they played that game like they were playing to win, and they lost to the Falcons. Now, fast forward to us this week, we play the Seattle Seahawks. Hey, it was a tough game. They played their starters. We played our starters. We didn't come out on top. We lost the game. Why aren't the Rams getting judged by that loss when they played their starters against them, and it was a meaningless game? I get it. But they played all their starters. They still lost the game. Why are the Niners being ripped up like this after one game against Seattle?
You want?
I understand.
Oh, go ahead, Mike.
Beat them convincingly, but that doesn't hold water to me and my buddies. We feel like the Niners are being judged a little differently in this situation when we know damn well the next game the Niners see, if they do see the Seahawks again, it ain't gonna be that way. It ain't gonna boil down like it just did. Shanahan's got some plays.
Mike, you want my real answer? Because I got a real straight answer for you as to why it doesn't sound the same. Because I think you're onto something, and here's why it doesn't. I don't think it sounds the same. Matt Stafford and Sean McVay have won a Super Bowl. That's it. There's two things in the NFL right now that will get people off your back. One, win a Super Bowl, or two, win the fans a Super Bowl. So if Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson win you your fantasy league, they are off limits. And if you win a Super Bowl, you are off limits. Notice there's the world's not really doing a Jalen Hurts thing this year. They might be in Philly because this is the most angry group of people I've ever met in my darn life, and they're mad about everything all the time.
Check our social media feed with the collage of middle fingers.
Exactly, and thank you, Mike. Appreciate it. But I don't hear, like, the world doesn't do this whole... I mean, Jalen Hurts has two angry receivers, does not have good numbers.
Yep. The running back is having a recovery year.
The defense outplayed the offense this year.
And the center retired, and they've had a bunch of injuries on their O-line and D-line.
Right, but nobody's like, I'm not sure about Jalen Hurts, because he's now minted. He's covered in all of that armor because he won a Super Bowl last year.
The green mint, no doubt.
I think it's a silly metric, and I know that bothers people, because the Super Bowl is the thing. That's the thing that we're all going for. But here's how I would say it. I don't think if you win one, that automatically means you're just amazeballs all the time. And if you haven't won one, that automatically means you're not amazeballs. They could just, that's not the way I look at it.
It's
that's
not
all.
The way it is, especially this year where you and I could draft Super Bowl matchups. And maybe we can do this later in the week with all the different permutations. Maybe we wait till next week when you're down to eight teams. It's a little bit more straightforward, but I would guarantee you that your number one pick on who versus whom and my number one who versus whom, they're not going to get there, because this year is wide open, and I think it's the nature of it. And I'm just looking at the Rams season. You lose to Carolina, you had three turnovers, they had none. You lose to Atlanta, you had three turnovers, they had none. Let's just boil all this down to the reality of what football is. When all these teams are kind of similar, you turn it over, you lose. They don't turn it over, they win.
This is going to be, and boy, get ready to fade, fade, fade.
Oh, God.
This is going to be one of the hardest playoffs to predict, I think, that I can remember.
I've
got four picks in, and the four picks that I've made, 4-0. Call my message phone. I got four locks, and those four are going to win.
Fade, fade.
The other two I'm not sure about.
Fade.
When you say 4-0, you mean that if we go against you, we'll go 4-0, right?
Fade.
Fade.